My name is Leo Fernier, a pensioner from Inco Police. And further to Ray Filion's explanation on the flying saucers, I'd like to add my own version of the story, of which happened on September 15, 61, at approximately 8.03 a.m. that morning. On the previous day, I had started to investigate a car accident, and on that morning, the sergeant called me in and said, "You stay in the office and complete your report, because they want it in Copperslip." As Ray was on the main gate duty at this time, and I was writing my report, he came over and knocked on the window and motioned me to go to the gate. So I got off my chair and just looked through the window to see if there was anything out of the way. And as I couldn't see nothing wrong, I sat back and started to write my report again. As Ray thought I was going to follow him outside, when he turned back after reaching the gate again and saw that I wasn't following him, he kind of got mad, turned back, and came back to the window, and this time I thought he was going to put his fist through the window, and motioned me again in a very determined way that I should follow him and go out and see what was wrong. So this time I went out, but I was still couldn't see nothing wrong from the window, and I thought that he was trying to pull my leg or something. When I got to the gate, he just motioned over the open pit, and he said, "What's that?" I said, "Holy Moses." I said, "Flying saucers." He says, "I've been watching them," and he says, "for the last 2 or 3 minutes," he says. "That's why," he says, "I knocked on the window the first time. I thought you were going to follow me." So I said, "Just a minute now." I said, "I'm going to go to get the other guys." So I went out and got the others, and I got Sergeant Lane. Sergeant Lane came out and looked at the flying saucers, and his old saying was, "Holy jumping powers." And again he repeated, "Holy jumping powers." He says, "Don't mention that to nobody." I said, "Why?" "Well," he said, "they won't believe you. Nobody is going to believe you." "Well," I said, "they're there. Don't you see them?" He says, "Yes, I see them." But he says, "other people don't see them," and he says, "they won't believe you." "Well," I said, "too bad for them." So we watched the flying saucers, and they started to move in a northeasterly direction towards Coppercliff, going by the heating plant stack, which the heating plant stack hit the helicopters to signify that how low they were flying at the time, and they flew over the number 7 shaft and followed the track from Creighton into Sudbury. The next day, 2 electricians from Copcliffe came in while we were in the office, and we were discussing this episode that had happened the day before. And one of the electricians said, "Yes," he says, "we saw those things," he says, "in Copperslip." I said, "You saw what in Copperslip?" He says, "Oh, those flying outfits, those flying things," he says, "you guys there saw," says, "we heard about it." He says, "we saw them over the park in Copperslip." A couple of days later, a fellow by the name Fern Roberts, who's in charge of the mechanical, came in and asked us if we were the ones that had seen the flying saucers. And by that time, we thought that he might be trying to pull our leg because some others had tried that, you know. So I said, "Yes." I said, "I was one of them." He said, "Holy Moses." He says, "You know," he says, "I'd pay $1,000. If I could see that." He says, "I have books," and he says, "I've been watching the skies," he says, "during the day, at night, and different times, and I've never seen anything like that." But he says, "I have different books." He says, "If I brought these books to you guys here, could you try and identify the type of the flying saucers that you saw?" So we said, "Yes, bring the books in." So he did bring the book the next day, and we sat at the desk, and I started to leaf through the books first, and the other fellas, Filio and Ken, came by and excited me. And I said, "You fellas go and sit down." I said, "I'm going to look and find the type of flying saucers we saw, and then you fellas can come out and look for your own." Because I said, if we all agree here that we saw this flying saucer, I said, it won't seem right. So I said, "You fellas sit down, and we'll each take our turn and leaf through." So we did. They went and sat down, and I leafed through. There were several different types and models of flying saucers, and I finally reached the ones that we had seen. I closed the book, and then I asked Ray or Eddie Kane, I forget at the time, and each took their turn and identified the same flying saucers that I had picked out at the beginning. These flying saucers, from what we can understand, where they're from, or God knows. But I heard a story again from another fella who said he was hunting a few years back, and he was rolling the type of cigarettes, and he had stopped to roll a cigarette, and he was standing beside the hydro line, and he heard a kind of a humming sound, and all of a sudden he seen this flying saucer over the wires, and an extension protruded down through the wires, which caused a spark, he assumed, from the time it touched the wires. It stayed there for several minutes, and then this protruding thing that was touching the wires was pulled back into the saucer, and it flew away. So he assumes that the only thing that that flying saucer was doing at the time was charging herself from the hydro line.